Well, greetings everyone, and welcome back to our Standing Watch program. Long-time viewers and readers and listeners of our literature and programs know that we have been saying for years and decades that Europe is going to unite. It is important that you understand why that is, why you must understand what the Bible says about this topic, because, as I will show you, the Bible tells you that once Europe is united, Jesus Christ's return is imminent. Now, the Bible says that the ancient Roman Empire would be revived 10 times after its fall. And the history has shown us that the revival has taken place 9 times under Germanic tribes, under Charlemagne, under Otto the Great, Charles V, Napoleon, even Hitler and Mussolini. You have all heard the phrase, the Holy Roman Empire, or the Holy Roman Empire of the German nation. People were reviving the Roman Empire. And right now, we are seeing Europe uniting one more time, the last time. And when that happens, Jesus Christ is going to return. Now, in our weekly updates, we have been writing several articles about Europe's revivals. And you can actually receive a copy of our update by just writing us, standingwatch.org, and we'll be happy to send you a free copy via email. And in one of our updates, we go into the revival of Europe as we are seeing it right now. And this is what we are saying in here. The last resurrection of the Roman Empire has already begun. And the politicians know that they are resurrecting the ancient Roman Empire. On October 29, 2004, the member states of the EU, the European Union, signed the European Union Constitution. Even though it was not ratified by all member states and therefore didn't become law, but it was later replaced by the Lisbon Treaty, and most of the provisions of the EU Constitution were then contained in it. Nevertheless, we say that it's interesting to look at where the EU Constitution was actually signed. The EU Observer wrote on October 29, 2004, symbolically, the ceremony took place in the same room as the signing of the original Treaty of Rome, the Treaty of Rome, by the then 6 member states, France, Germany, Italy, the Netherlands, Belgium, and Luxembourg in 1957. So the success story of modern Europe began again in Rome. The original Treaty of Rome in 1957 gave birth to the unification of Europe. Der Stern Online wrote that the first Roman treaty signalized, and I quote, the beginning of the success story of Europe. You see, the dream of a united Europe has been around for some time. According to Der Stern Online of March 25, 2004, Voltaire said in 1767 that Europe will become a great republic of cultivated spirits. Shortly thereafter, Immanuel Kant spoke of a European house. In 1849, Victor Hugo coined enthusiastically the phrase United States of Europe, a slogan that was later used by Winston Churchill during a speech in 1943. But you see, things really began to shape up when the euro was introduced. On January 1, 1999, the euro became the currency of many of the European states. And by now we have 17 member states in the so-called Eurozone. Businessweek wrote on May 4, 1998, the euro will turn Europe into a superpower. National Review wrote on October 26, 1998, the monetary union is first and foremost a political project. French officials cite the euro as a means by which to develop a global political counterweight to the world's only superpower, talking about the United States. Former German Chancellor Helmut Schmidt said, the arrival of the euro will change the whole world situation so that the United States can no longer call all the shots. Some have said when the recent problems arrived that the euro is done. They don't understand biblical prophecy. The euro will never be done as long as these world powers rule, because the euro is the glue which keeps Europe together. Newsweek wrote in late 1998, in January, the world will start getting used to a new currency. Whether you love the euro or hate it, know this: nothing so big has ever happened before. Now, these are powerful words. On May 1, 2004, Der Stern said, "Great Europe is to become a world power economically, culturally, and perhaps even militarily." Max Leonhard, in his book, Why Europe Will Run the 21st Century, notice this interesting title. He wrote this: "By creating the largest single market in the world, Europe has become an economic giant." And according to the EU Observer of July 16, 2008, in 2005, the US was supplanted as the world's largest single market by the EU. Many Americans suddenly had this new beast to deal with, the EU, they say. And the beast it is, biblically speaking, because the Bible says that the beast power will appear one more time in Europe. But it's not going to be 27 member states as we have it today. We are talking about a core Europe, consisting of 10 nations or groups of nations coming out of those 27 member states. And so you've heard the coin, a Europe of two speeds. Der Spiegel Online wrote on June 16, 2008, Luxembourg Prime Minister Jean-Claude Juncker said that it was time for a club of the few. Former German Foreign Minister Joschka Fischer likewise wrote that those who want political integration should move forward, and those who are happy with just a common market should be left behind. The Local wrote on June 7, 2012, German Chancellor Angela Merkel said that she would work towards a European political union, even if that meant a two-speed approach. And you see, my friends, a core Europe already exists. Notice this statement by Die Berliner Zeitung, dated July 2, 2008. The idea of a core Europe or a two-speed Europe is not at all the heresy that some make it out to be. It has long been reality. Many states do not participate in one of the key issues of European integration, the single currency. So the Eurozone members meet first, making decisions about the euro, and then the other member states are invited after the decisions have already been made. Now, there's also strong historical and biblical evidence to the fact that Great Britain is not going to be part of the core member states. The EU Observer hinted at this development when it wrote on March 10, 2007, the EU should go ahead and further integrate without the UK. The Wall Street Journal wrote on May 24, 2007, that Mrs. Merkel's team considers Britain one of the biggest obstacles to any agreement. And also former German Chancellor Helmut Schmidt said that the core European member states will be without the UK. Now, when it comes to Great Britain, it is no secret that many or most Britons don't even like the UK being part of Europe, the EU, let alone becoming part of core member states. The Associated Press wrote on January 24, 2013, British Prime Minister David Cameron wants nothing to do with the United States of Europe. Many in the EU, particularly among the 17 countries that the euro have accepted, they are on a drive for closer political unification, and that's raised particular concerns recently in Britain. It says that Britain's relationship with Europe has been strained since the end of World War II. It has stood against many efforts to forge closer ties, notably the creation of the euro. And Mail Online added on January 18, 2013, The EU's mission for ever closer union has always meant ultimately creating a federal superstate, something that is unacceptable to most Britons. And so voices are being heard saying that Britain should leave the EU voluntarily or involuntarily. Now that's of great biblical significance, because the Bible very strongly shows that ultimately the European superpower will fight a war against Great Britain, and Great Britain will lose that war. Now, Europe under the leadership of those 10 nations or groups of nations will also become a military union. They will become a power with a unified army, and the ideas are already floating around and have been floating around for quite a while. Under the headline, German Chancellor Favors Creation of European Army, Deutsche Welle reported on March 23, 2007, the European Union should move towards forming a common army, Germany's Angela Merkel said in an interview. And then they go on to say that the call for a European army isn't anything new. Under the headline, European Army Backed, the Sydney Morning Herald wrote the following on September 20, 2012. Germany, France, and 9 of Europe's most powerful countries have called for an end to Britain's veto over defense policy, and the bloc demanded a new defense policy under the control of a pan-EU foreign ministry commanded by, at this point, Baroness Ashton, which could eventually involve a European army. My friends, the Bible tells us very clearly that the core member states, those 10 nations or groups of nations, those 10 toes referred to in Daniel 2, and also the 10 horns, the 10 kings referred to in Revelation 17, they will become militarily strong. But at first they will not be totally unified. But the Bible also tells us that first the unification will be fragile, but it will take the arrival of a very charismatic, political, economic, and military leader called the Beast to create a short-lived military unification of one mind, as you read in Revelation 17. And that will be hostile towards the returning Jesus Christ. And we read that that unification will only exist for a very short time. That's why I told you at the beginning of this program, time is getting short. We should already be able to see how Europe is uniting towards a military power block. And when that happens, the Great Tribulation will begin. Thank you very much for listening. This is Norbert Lenk for the Standing Watch program.